Welcome. Bienvenue to the Fantasy Tools Podcast. This is a show where fantasy tools discuss fantasy tools. I'm your host, Eric Renz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Peterson. Our mission is to discuss fantasy baseball and the tools that we're developing that help us manage our teams. Cue that intro music.
Opening weekend. We've had a proper opening weekend now. We're not going to... guess we can talk more about the South Korea games, but not a big deal, really. Other than it's kind of weird to see that the Dodgers have so many games played.
Yeah, it is sort of funny looking and being like, oh, how? How do you have so many games played already? Yeah, looking at the standings, it's like everybody's at three or four games. And then NL West is like, what?
So I think we have four winless teams. Who gets the first win here? The winless teams are expected Miami Marlins and the Chicago White Sox. Okay, that makes sense. Then you've got the New York Mets, a little more iffy, and the Houston Astros? Winless? First four?
I had not known that. That is great.
That's interesting. So
first four. I mean, Red Sox are right where they're going to be at the end of the season. 500.
500. Yep.
Where are your Twins at?
Two and one. It doesn't quite tell the story because they got blown out 11-0 by the Royals.
Run differential is not in your favor right now.
That was a bad one. But I guess we could go the other way too, which is like, who's the first team to lose? You've got Tigers, unbelievably, haven't lost a game yet. Yankees haven't lost a game yet. Pirates, good for
Pirates.
Hot start again. Brewers,
yeah, just out of the gates. Brewers, I mean, Brewers are doing it the way that they were supposed to, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I think of those, you know, looking at those extremes, it's got to be the Astros that's the most surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they 0-4 is really unexpected. Brewers, yeah. Of course, three wins, three saves. Three save opportunities.
Right? As we discussed, right? Like this is, and of course with Devin Williams out, they gotta just kick me a little more.
Yeah.
So do you think Mets due for a win? Astros gotta be due for a win. Mets gotta get a win here.
Who's gonna get the first win is gonna be I'd put my money on the Astros. Fine. Astros. Who are they playing next? Oh, Blue Jays. Maybe not.
Okay, fantasy news. I saw Dune.
You bastard.
I'm sorry. I saw my opportunity and I took it.
So did they finish the book?
They did.
Oh, book, it's only two.
Book one, wow. Over. Book one is over. So right after, I immediately raced home and Googled, like, are they making a third movie? They, no official plans, but they left it wide open.
Right. Yeah.
But it gets harder after that. It gets the next books get harder to adapt to decide.
I haven't read. So I started Dune. I've been hearing about Dune and how I should read it for many, many a year. And then finally they came out with the trailer and I was like, well, it seems like I should probably watch it. So I started reading it. And then I finished it after I watched the first one. And then it was like, do you yeah, I'm on Kindle, so it's like progress bar limitless. And it was like, do you want to buy the next one? And it's like, oh, I'm not in for another 1,000 pages on a Kindle. So no thank you. And I just haven't, it just not has not risen up to. And everybody that I talk to is like, well, Dune is a 10 out of 10. It goes downhill from there.
I really liked it, first of all. I would strongly recommend seeing it, but I would say that they could have just closed the story there and I would have been perfectly happy.
Oh, but they left it open enough.
Yeah, they left it open enough where it was like, well, now if they don't make a third movie, it's going to be awkward. And I like, which also, I don't know how they close it, because the end of the first book is like, or where the second book starts up is like the beginning of the rest of the universe, right? So it's more similar. I mean, it's unique in the way that it's laid out amongst fantasy stories, I would say, because the first book brings a, in principle, a whole arc, and then you kind of jump out from there.
Mm-hmm. Fractals.
Fractals, yeah, that's right. But I would say they won't get to the place where the guy turns himself into a worm. I think they probably won't get there. Anyway, spoiler alerts, you know, for 15 years in the future when they've made this. And
but Andor, yes, just keeps on getting, speaking of, what is his name in
the Harkonnen, the Harkonnen, which one?
Yes.
Which Harkonnen? The baddest one.
The baddest one, who in Andor is a good guy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all. Now that I when I rewatched Dune, all I could think of is like that voice being like, Andor, come on over here.
It feels kind of jarring because it I feel like his role in Dune singularly made me distrust him in Andor.
I never trusted him in Andor because I'd watch Dune. So it's like I'm watching Andor, it's like, this is gonna turn? Who is he gonna turn on?
Yeah, there's something about that actor. Ooh, I don't know. This isn't good. Not a good situation. Anyway, good movie.
I will watch it eventually.
So from opening day, or opening weekend, rather, some early batting order findings. Scraper has been booted up. Both scrapers worked successfully, the one that scrapes run differentials and the one that scrapes lineups. So very exciting that those...
That's just not fair.
That those have been rebooted. Well, it's great. Savant decided not to change their query system between this year, which is so useful. It's such a relief to me. Thank you for not doing that. And just kind of the frame this, you know, value, of course, is, we've talked about this all the time, is so often driven by where a guy hits in the order. Obviously, they have to get in the order in order for that to be relevant. Pre-season, you and I made some predictions about what orders would look like, because this is critical to predicting a guy's value going into draft day.
Yeah.
And so we've got a handful of games done. The scraper worked. I posted them. They're just going to run to GitHub. So why not look what I would call maybe a little bit too early? And I linked out our chart that we had predicted, our chart of predictions here, right, if you want to take a look at this just as a refresh. But I thought I'd give you sort of a guided tour of what I saw. And just as a reminder, you can go and look at, it's called Batting Order Fantasy Tools Batting Order on GitHub. Plenty of data in there. You can get all of 2023's is loaded up, and 2024's will update every single day. You'll be able to see all the lineups of all the games.
Oh, it's so weird. It's like, oh, this is not long. This is four games.
Yep. There is not much going on in these. All right. Yeah. So I have a few highlights here. We can kind of shoot through these. Obviously, you can pick and choose if there's anything you want to talk about. A couple things. We got our answer to what Philadelphia is going to do. Kyle Schwarber going to retain his crown at leadoff all three games. Congratulations to Kyle Schwarber. It makes no sense.
Wow. That's a choice.
It is a choice. I don't think they should have done it, but okay. In contrast, in Arizona here, trade-offs, and this is actually maybe a little bit of value change for somebody, because where I thought Corbin Carroll would be for sure leading off for them, they seem to be trading.
Yeah, they're like, should we Corbin have
Kettle Marte? I don't know if this is a battle. One thing I didn't look at was whether they are doing this based on pitcher handedness, which would also be interesting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because both of these.
The only thing that changes, they like Jock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jock, obviously, both of these things are, you know, to be watched, and obviously, both of these players must be played. So, mm-hmm, you know, you're not going to do this, but it might change some of your downstream calculus in terms of who's getting more stolen bases, who's running, who's getting more runs, all these things. It might change the value for your team. It's kind of the key.
Yeah, you might not get 110 runs out of Corbin Carroll if he's not batting first every day.
Yeah, that's kind of the fear, and then you may have to reevaluate what that means.
Right. And your point is he might not get 40 stolen bases if he's batting second.
Exactly. Because he may have somebody, he may have Kettle Marte ahead of him on the bases, which
dig a double steal, sure. But yeah, it will limit his opportunities.
Early consistency award and inconsistency award. Colorado here, first three games, exact same lineup. Amazing.
First three games, but then game games. Number four, Ezekiel Tovar. Wait, they really just
game went. Number four. It was
what
just,
happened?
I can't figure that out. I was like, I don't know if it was just Sunday. They just decided, Well, nobody else starts today.
Well, Iron Men like Charlie Blackman and Chris Bryant, you know, it's surprising to not see them in a lineup.
I think, I mean, it must have just been a day off for them, and they get Stallings in there. Stallings is in Colorado now. Good for him, I guess. And as opposed to Diaz doing their everyday catching.
Brendan Rodgers, of course, taking a break from managing the Premier League.
But it's good for Ezekiel Tovar to get the fact that he will get some looks at leadoff, considering that when the lineup is set, he appears to be batting at the bottom.
Ilihurius Montero. Is that how you pronounce his name? I wouldn't know.
Great question.
A lot easier when your picks are E. Montero, of course.
Yep.
I'm interested in him. I was interested in him down the line last year, and if he's going to bat third, even like once a week,
there's some value there.
That's pretty valuable. That's interesting. And especially, like I said, like I joked, I mean, Charlie Blackman and Chris Bryant are not going to play 150 games, let alone 160.
No, I 100% agree. I think, I don't know. I don't understand why you would want Charlie Blackman to be your leadoff hitter in the current iteration of Charlie Blackman.
In 2024, exactly. I don't know.
I don't get that choice, but whatever. Okay, opposite side, no consistency in the Minnesota lineup.
Shocker.
All three of these lineups are totally different. Like, what happened here?
Well, Royce Lewis went down, so he was the linchpin.
The linchpin of the system.
Keystone.
I mean, I don't. There's not much to say there. It's just kind of.
I mean, not really a winning lineup when Carlos Correa is one of the first four hitters. Sorry.
That's so mean. Carlos Correa is like, if he's not good, we're in trouble.
I know. You're in trouble.
Thank you.
On the hitting side, you guys are in trouble.
I just want to.
Willie Castro, my boy. Look at that. Bad Willie six. Castro, good. Love it.
Willie Castro, good.
And Carlos Santana batting four. Or where was. Well, I guess he was six. What is. Yeah. Come on, just pick where Carlos Santana is going to be. Stick with it, and then figure out the rest of it.
It's weird to. I don't know. I don't actually think it's the Royce Lewis problem. I think by design they're going to have a super flexible lineup, and I don't know that that's good.
Yeah, because that lineup, that team is like, well, we're really deep. Yeah, but you're also really shallow.
Yeah. Yep.
You have a lot of player-wise number. You have a lot of major league players who can bat 6, 7, 8. But
yeah,
to figure out how you can fit a nine player batting order is really tough.
Well, here I put this bullet point right after this in the lineup to make myself feel better, which was, what are these two teams? I look at both the Detroit lineups and the Oakland lineups, and they're like. Who are these guys?
Who are they? Yeah.
Who are these guys?
Wow, Cary Carpenter batted the third.
Like, what is happening? Colt Keith. Who's Colt Keith?
Don't know. Javier Baez is the eighth.
I know.
Great signing, guys. Great signing. What did we say for Detroit? We said Matt Vierling. Ooh, Zach McKinstry. Batted ninth one of those days. Spencer Torkelson, Cary Carpenter. Cary Carpenter did get fourth once, right?
Yes, he did. He
was Cary Carpenter. Mark Canha, number five. That's not too bad.
We got two of the three games. He batted.
Javier Baez, number six. So that, and if I recall correctly, that was sort of like he's going to end up averaging. He's going to play. He could play 160 games, right? And just average out more batting, more bats than others. Riley Green, number seven, apparently doesn't look good.
They're clearly going to lean on Riley Green. Maybe he's third and fourth. I mean, okay.
Interesting.
Again, things I wouldn't do, but,
Spencer Torkelson, number two.
That's right, isn't it? No, we had him third.
We had him third, yeah.
But, I mean, the one that really is stunning, if you think Detroit looks problematic, I mean, Oakland is like, oh boy. This one, I couldn't even have the heart to say that we didn't get it right because it was just like... you'll see at the bottom, I have a hit list of teams that we just didn't, that we messed something up in our predictions, and we'll go through those in the end. But Oakland, I just don't even have the heart because it's like, does it matter?
How do they not have Estuary Ruiz number one?
This gets
from like players that, yeah, this is players you've never heard of.
Yep.
Poor JD Davis.
Poor JD Davis is a real thing. We had Seth Brown at number four because we couldn't fit. Oh, Seth Brown did get a number four.
He hit number four yesterday.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Who's Lawrence Geloff. Butler? Did Lawrence Butler appear on our list? Nope.
Dude, we got Zach Geloff, though, right?
We did get, yeah, no, we got Zach Geloff.
I remember us saying by his dad, Bob.
We actually got Zach in the right spot. And we did call Ryan Noda that he might be a starter.
Oh, wow. Why did we not have Estuary?
Because I think, so a lot of this was informed by what they did last year. They just didn't lead off Estuary as often last year.
Rooker number three. Yeah, of course. Why not?
Okay, couple more quick hits here. Apparently, if you have the biggest lineup on, biggest contract on the Dodgers, you get to pick where you bat. So Freddie Freeman has been bumped from the spot that he hit every single game last year. Number two. He's now three.
It's a choice.
It's going to change his value. I mean, it's not his value. It's going to change his production.
Yeah, it will. It will.
So again,
it's not have as many runs. He will not have as many at bats.
So it's again something to watch out for as a if you're a Freddie Freeman owner. I'm not saying obviously you're not going to drop Freddie Freeman, but or trade probably not even trade Freddie Freeman, but you may need to think down the line about where you're going to retrieve those extra runs that he's converting into probably, hopefully, RBIs.
Max Muncy's number five. Putting Will Smith in there, number four. That's interesting.
Really proud of ourselves that we called Willy Adames for cleanup for Milwaukee. I remember when we talked about this, you were like, come on, Willy Adames for cleanup. Like, I think so. Here it is.
He wants to be there.
He's there. He's there.
That's great. Yelich, no, down to three.
So not leading off. We had pegged him as the guy who would lead off, but they're leading Sal Frelick off instead and Chirio. But then Chirio got dropped after an opening day batting first. He then bats ninth 2 days in a row.
Bryce Turang, he's back.
Bryce Turang. Did we get Bryce Turang in there? Yeah, we did. Well, good for us.
He's interesting. Yeah. He's an interesting player. If he can, but he's one of those guys... I hate those guys where it's like they're on the cusp of they're interesting for a little period of time and then all of a sudden they take off, you know, and then if they get the batting order spot, they get the lineup order spot, and then they just continue doing what they did and part time.
Turang could be part of that. I mean, this 3-0 Brewers team, this could be good.
I do not like that Rhys Hoskins was six.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even have Rhys Hoskins when we did the predictions, which is going to factor into the next two teams that we're going to talk about. But I think actually looking at this lineup, I probably would have put Hoskins fifth.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't have messed with the first four.
I think because we said that Willy Adames would be cleanup. I think he wants to be cleanup. That's where he keeps on batting for the fences. So in that case, Hoskins has got to be five. He's protection for the cleanup.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with the one. With the 1-2-3, it's like Yelich will be in there. And then what?
Yep.
I don't know why Contreras is number two. That just seems like a way to run him into the ground. Is he a one-year deal?
I assume he wants to be. I mean, he must just want to be too.
Yeah. It's like people.
But it's a kind of thing where like.
Cocaine. They just want more cocaine.
It's a kind of thing where if you like Sal Frelick up there. Why not have Chirio in the top four? Yelich, Frelick, okay, Adames, fine. And then you can rest Contreras a little bit more. Like,
yeah, I totally agree with you.
Anyway, all right, two lineups that look a lot better because of key additions that they made after we talked about it. First one, Seattle.
Oh, you love it. Mitch Haniger, my buddy, who got me in trouble.
This lineup makes much more sense with Jorge Polanco in there. Because we had Cal Raleigh batting third. And that's just not where you want Cal Raleigh.
No, Cal Raleigh hitting fifth is right. That's where a good hitting catcher should be fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Milwaukee, are you listening?
Yeah. You want them off the bases so that they can be resting their knees.
So I don't know. I mean, we did think that Mitch Garver should bat cleanup. I guess, is Mitch Garver injured? Did he already. I mean, because he only appeared in game one, and then I will say that I don't, in general, love Mitch Haniger being your cleanup guy. But
no, I think that's funny. But unless they've given him something.
An interesting point. All right, another lineup that looks really good with a couple of key additions that they made since we did this is San Francisco. Actually, this lineup looks way better now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were like, what is going on with this San Francisco? Who do we have for San Francisco?
We got Jung-Hoo Lee first, but then we were like, I guess Lamont Wade because he's the next best. Like, what do we do with
Wilmer
this lineup?
Wilmer Flores, batting cleanup.
Yeah. There he was. J.D. Davis is out of there. Got to get rid of that guy. We were reaching, but suddenly now you have Jung-Hoo Lee, then Soler, Lamont Wade Jr., Matt Chapman as your first four, and that feels much better. Wheels still fall off pretty quickly, but you got a first four.
Man, Estrada, can you please get good enough that you can be, you can take one of those top three spots?
He just can't crack six.
No.
Six and seven. So I don't know. I thought they looked better.
Right. Michael Conforto, I think that we even talked about it. It's like, Michael Conforto, he should be batting cleanup, right? And like, no.
I don't want to. All right. Now one that has changed, and it's weird because I don't know if it's changed for the better or not, which is Texas. You know, they did this surprising thing where they're bringing the kids up. I mean, Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter, are both going to play, evidently.
Well, and Josh Jung, if you're going to put him in the first four.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, they must feel like they've got a little bit of time to mess around with things.
Because we predicted Simeon, Seager, Lowe, Garcia, Jung. And then, you know, we did have Evan Carter in there as like, oh, he'll get some bad bats this year. But Wyatt Langford wasn't on the radar for making this lineup.
For batting second.
No, I know.
Adalys got that cleanup spot, which sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, he should, right? But, and then third, they either had Jung or Carter, like, for the two of the, for the games. I mean, still, again, only three games. We'll have a lot more data next week, but surprising trends already. I don't know.
And Nate Lowe is injured, right?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe this looks more normal when Lowe is back, and, you know, they're more back to what they were doing, but it's kind of like, this is not, it must just be what you said. They must just feel like, well, we have a bunch of time to mess around.
If Houston's going to start 0-4, gravy train.
Okay, there's eight teams here. We don't need to go through these. Things that I was wrong about, some aspect of theirs. If there were any that were interesting to you, we got teams that when we did our guesses, something was wrong with the Cubs, the Reds, White Sox, Angels, Yankees, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Toronto. Toronto, actually, which I saw you just clicked on, very interesting.
Number two.
They flipped him. This was not last year at all. They flipped those. They flipped Vlad and Bichette. And that is very interesting to me that they decided that that was one of their problems.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Biggio down at number 8-9. That sounds about right.
So, I mean...
No Whit Merrifield.
No. That's going to do different things to the Vlad and Bichette value. I think it's good for both of them. I think.
Yeah, the question is, does it change Vlad's approach? Is he ever going to hit 40 home runs again if he's batting second?
No. It's just, this is all about... This is, to me, a baseball lineup, right?
Vogelbeck batted fourth.
Well, I don't think anybody
what
thought
is
that
going
was,
on in Toronto.
I don't know that anybody thought that was a good idea, but you know,
you give Canadians a team and they're gonna do wacky stuff with it.
I would like to point out that Davis Schneider should be in the lineup more.
He should.
I own him on my TGFBI team. I don't know why he only appeared in one of the four games.
Ugh.
Did he have a home run in that game? Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Should he therefore ride the bench for the other games? Clearly. Yeah. I was surprised because it was like, I pulled up our preseason guesses and was like, okay, Toronto looks pretty good. Wait, totally backwards.
You went
to the other one.
So upset seeing Juan Soto in a Yankees uniform because he looks like a Yankee.
Yep.
And he's batting second, and that Torres, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton is scary, especially because they're going to trade at some point. They're going to trade Gleyber Torres, and they're getting a real number one.
I know. It's. I mean, they came around to the fact that it shouldn't be DJ LeMahieu, right? Which was what we had in there. Which was what we had in our predictions originally, because that's what they were doing last year. So they at least realized, okay, that's not going to work. But slotting Gleyber Torres up there isn't the correct answer. And I would just like to point out that I was wrong here. You were right, because when I put Judge, Soto 2-3, you said this should be flipped.
Yeah.
So, and you were clear, you called that right about what the structure is going to be. So, good on you.
I mean, well, in the StatHead community, you put the guy who should be hitting more line drives second and is good on the base pass second. And you put the guy that can hit more home runs third.
Yeah, that makes sense here. Were we confident enough in Giancarlo Stanton to put him in? Yeah, we put him in at 6. That seems about right for, you know, average batting order.
Yeah, so he batted 5th twice, and then what, he was even in the lineup the other 2 days? No. So over the long term, it's going to be about correct.
Maybe we can just close on the Reds here. So just to point out, I was a little, this is one where I actually think this is probably my most wrong, I would say. So we had predicted Ellie De La Cruz, TJ Friedl, Matt McClain, Spencer Steer, Heimer Candelario, Christian Encarnacion Strand, who you highlighted just saying, I wish he was higher.
Yeah, number 3.
And look at that. You got number your 3. Wish here. They're doing something surprising here. I mean, they got Jonathan India, who we thought was going to be a 9 because he was 9 last year, leading him off. Will
and
Benson.
Ellie De La Cruz down at 6.
Had in there. I don't understand. So that was actually what I wanted to highlight, which was, why is Ellie De La Cruz batting 6? Is this a protection thing?
I don't know. Didn't he have a really hot spring?
Yes. So I was. So
Will
this
Benson
is,
and Spencer Steer are
good for them.
are the guys that you want? I don't know. I mean, long term, De La Cruz is going to be a 1-2 or 3 hitter.
Yeah, it's nice to see. But the fact that they put Encarnacion Strand up there already is good for him. But the fact that they're not putting Ellie De La Cruz up there, I don't know how to square
rectify
those two things
together. Yeah, yeah. And it's not like CES has lit the world on fire so far in that spot. He did have a walk off, but I think he's like 1-for-20 or something like that.
So I was just a little. Anyway, like we said, all of these lineups are available. All the data for the lineups is available. There's also a little bit of processed information about the lineups. If you want to take a look at those, we can come back some other day and present those. But yeah, do with this what you will. Hopefully it helps some information. This is just a little shoot around for some early surprises.
1-for-13. CES is 1-for-13.
1-for-13.
It's a home run.
Was it? Hey, make them count. Make them count.
Yeah.
How, wait, you said 12 Ks?
4 Ks.
Oh, I was like, what is he doing? Okay.
That's funny because last year that was his thing. I thought that was sort of his claim to fame, was he not really a huge strikeout guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that about brings us to the review session. Alexis Diaz. Diaz.
So we're going to talk. You know, they are brothers.
I hadn't known that before, but I found that out.
I did verify.
And look at their birth certificates. Do you know their real ages now too?
Well, they for if you just look at their pictures, it's like, oh, these guys are brothers.
Yeah.
They look really similar. So we should talk about his 2023 stats, not his poor start to 2024. But 2023 here, 9 wins, 6 losses, a lot of decisions for a reliever.
Yeah.
3.07 ERA, a 1.19 WHIP. Let's get to the relevant stats for us though. 67 innings pitched, 86 strikeouts in that, and 37 saves. That's a pretty good stat line for your closer.
Pretty good number. Yeah.
He has an 81 ERA this year, but you know, presumably that'll come down.
All right, 2 stats that you didn't give that I'm going to give. One stat that I like. Mm-hmm. Well, these are dimensions, your 2 stats really, but 6'2", 224, that's what you want in a closer.
yeah.
Not too tall, thick guy.
Yeah.
Other stat that I'm not as into long term, but this year is good, 27 years old.
Yep.
Where's he been?
But I feel like the same thing happened with Edwin Diaz, which, well, but then again, no, because when we talked about him, he was around, he had been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
In just sort of a surprising way. I don't know. Was he buried in the Reds system? So he first appears.
Not like there are that many players. You know, Reds haven't been good, so he should have just been up.
He first appears in the Reds system than his brother. I was eventually going to ask if he could be better than his brother, but I'm not sure that's a relevant question at this point. He first appears in the Reds system in 2015, so they must have signed him. Yeah, they drafted him in 2015. They drafted him in 2015. Okay, that makes sense. And then he just kind of...
6 years in the minors.
Just really... It's really surprising that it took 6 years for this kind of stuff to work its way up out of the minors.
Because he came in and he was pretty good in 2022.
Yeah, obviously. He was quite good. Quite good in 2022. What did he do? So 2022... I mean, 2022 was even... arguably better, just lower volume.
Well, he had 63.2 innings pitched. He just wasn't a closer. Yeah. For most of that.
But 95. 13
holds.
So he only throws two pitches.
Mm-hmm.
A 95 mile an hour fastball and an 88 mile an hour slider. I mean, it's a nice mix between the two. It's like 2/3 of the four seamer and 1/3 of the slider. Is either pitch demonstrably better?
Oh, it's like immediately Statcast has it for this year, so hard to say.
Yeah. We have it for 20. He's got high whiff percentages on both, right? So 37% whiff percentage on his slider and 30 on his four seamer. So he's mainly trying to get you out on his slider.
Yeah, he's throwing it hard at you first couple of pitches, and he's trying to strike you out with the slider.
Yep.
57 strikeouts on his slider last year. 29 on his four-seamer.
This is a good breakdown. I should be spending more time looking at the pitch tracking, especially the deeper we get into closers. I feel like this is something I need to be watching out for.
Yeah.
It's looking at exactly what their pitch mix is doing.
Wow. I mean, batting average against his slider last year was 153.
I mean, when we did the long closer study about closer archetypes, this is a closer archetype. Mm-hmm. This is like a closer's closer.
Right down the center.
Yeah.
Four-seamer slider.
Yep.
Okay. Anything? So, I mean, we're in a hard part of the season where it's like, what are you going to do? Alexis Diaz. I think he's still, if there's owner is like giving up on Alexis Diaz, go ahead and grab him.
Oh, no one's given up on Alexis Diaz yet. It's, you got to be mad, but like.
Yeah. I'm still starting him.
Yeah. Obviously. It's probably at worst one bad, you know, one to two bad pitches. Like,
yeah, a cold month. So who are we doing next week?
Well, next week we're going to talk about David Bednar.
Time for a little housekeeping. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Tools, Mind the Z. Thank you, Mild Manor, for letting us use your tunes. Be sure to follow them on SoundCloud and Facebook. Feel free to email us with questions or comments. Send us messages at fantasy.tools@gmail.com. Again, Mind the Z. All I've got left is, worst of luck to you, buddy.
Worst of luck to you, too. Yeah,